We got enough.
We have a quorum, yes.
Good evening.
We have the two of
them. Hi, how's everyone doing? I'm going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. And we will start with item 17-1091, which is election of officers. We have a slate of officers for chairperson and vice chair. We ask the nominee for the chairperson to please state his name.
Randy Hubbard.
And we ask the co-chairperson to please state her name.
Essie Henney.
This is a slate that has been selected. Do we have a motion from the commission we need a motion from the floor to have this slate of officers for this year of 2017-18.
I make a motion.
Okay. We have a motion from Stella Stevens. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. And from Jennifer Mott. Mm-hmm. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Congratulations, chairperson. I will turn the meeting over to you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to welcome you to the meeting. It's 6:32, and we don't have any.
We have consent.
Oh, we do have consent. Oh, yeah. Hey. Still learning here. You had to pardon me. We have a couple of consent items, which are non-controversial housekeeping items that we have to take care of. 17-1092, minutes from the Community Grants Advisory Commission meeting of July 25th, 2017. Did we already do those? We did those last time.
We did?
Yeah, we did those last time. Anyway, any question on those?
And you know you can vote as a consent agenda.
Do what?
You can get a motion to approve the consent
agenda. Okay, we need a motion. To approve those?
Approve the consent agenda.
To approve the consent agenda, which also includes 17-1093, the minutes from October 11th, 2017.
I move that we accept the minutes from July 25th and October 11th, 2017.
Do we have a second?
I second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Now we get to move on to the fun stuff, the reason you guys are here. Regular agenda item 17-1094, conduct a public hearing to consider funding under the fiscal year 2017-18 community support grants. We have to have a motion to go into public hearing? Okay. So, 5 minutes?
3 minutes.
3 minutes. Okay, you'll each have 3 minutes to speak. Because I'm not real good with minutes, I'm going to have Siri come on and tell me when 3 minutes is up. If I can remember how to do this. Yeah, there, I got it. Okay, we're going to start with the Wellness Center for Older Adults.
And they have two.
And you have two presentations. Go ahead.
Well, good evening. My name is Stephen Hood, representing the Wellness Center for Older Adults. We are an organization celebrating 39 years of service in Collin County. We are an organization that is focused on serving the unique and specialized needs of our older adults. And we accomplish this through mental health services, health services, as well as a variety of social services open to those 55 and over. This evening, it's fortunate to be able to present and to share and answer questions as it relates to two grants, one as it relates to health care, the other as for mental health. What we know is that those older adults in our community, approximately 80%, deal with at least one chronic health condition. And over the past several years, we have a nurse on staff who comes and visits at the McKinney Senior Center, as well as other senior living facilities in McKinney, working with seniors. on their health needs and concerns. One thing that's really interesting is in this past month we've had, we're blessed to experience open enrollment. I think that those words create fear in the hearts of a lot of folks. In the last 3 weeks, our benefits counselor has seen 53 individuals. 46 of those are entering Medicare for the first time. What's interesting in the trend, and the reason why this relates to this grant, is that the majority of those individuals are reevaluating what opportunities they have to preserve and protect their cash and rely less on a medical plan. We know that the number one thing that seniors face is the fear of loss of revenue and whether they will outlive their money. And so what we're seeing is a huge trend right now of reducing their insurance as they get older and protecting their cash assets as the costs increase for healthcare. The impact that we see is that services that we offer will continue to increase, and the dependency upon services such as lab work, wellness screenings, health education, and other programs. These are all the things that the Wellness Center has consistently provided for individuals. Over this last year, the Wellness Center cared for 94 McKinney residents with a great deal of increase in services provided for healthcare education. Part of that feedback came from the McKinney Senior Center in wanting seniors wanting to know, how do I care for diabetes? How do I take care of myself as I get older? In one situation, our nurse met with a senior.
Okay. Sorry.
3 minutes. That's hard for me to do.
3 minutes is difficult.
Well, I'm happy to answer your questions.
Any of you have any questions? Well, I do. I'm curious. You're asking for $12.5 on the one for providing preventive health services. What does that include? I mean, that's a lot of money for 90 people.
Well, we certainly hope that we plan to grow extensively further, to go further than what we have in the past. We have brought on, one of the things that we have seen is increased in our lab work fees, medical supplies, that over the last 5 years we have not done any increases in the things that we look at. So we know that Medicare or medical costs are increasing. We are bringing in a staff member to specifically address McKinney. The growth of what we're seeing and our engagement there with health fairs and activities with seniors, we need somebody that's dedicated to handle the outreach across Collin County. So we look at a number of the lab services, educational programs, and so I think that's $12.5 for this grant to reach. I'm going to say we're probably going to have at least a 20% increase. When you look at our stats for the last quarter, we serve almost more people in that last quarter than we did in the three previous quarters.
You guys are located in Plano?
We are based out of Plano. We work out of the McKinney Senior Center, and we are currently working on a location here in McKinney.
Okay.
For all of our programs.
I have a question. $9,000 is requested for personnel, and is that for that individual?
That will handle for our geriatric nurse, as well as some support work for our database entry to keep track of medical records.
Okay, so your entire your budget for personnel is $59,955, and you're requesting $9,000 to support that.
To support the McKinney residents, yes.
Okay, you say you work out of the McKinney Senior Center?
Yes.
So you're there daily, or how often are you there?
We are there twice a month for regular clinics. We are also working out of several of the other elderly service homes, senior home, living facilities.
So you have a presence in McKinney how often a month?
At least once a week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
You said once a week or twice a month?
Once a week. We are working at least once a week now in McKinney.
Oh, okay, so four times a week.
We have structured programs at the McKinney Senior Center twice a month.
Okay, structured. You've allotted in the project budget $2,000 for other requests. Can you talk about the other?
Sure. Other will be items such as the insurance that we are required, and our liability for that is not inexpensive.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else have anything? Okay. Okay, thank you.
Any questions on mental health? There were two proposals.
That's what I was going to ask. So you're, I guess, what are the two different proposals?
No,
there's the health care and the mental health.
One is designed for health care, preventive health care program of working with seniors. The other is our counselor working, providing caregiver support as well as senior care consultation among our senior population. She is there every week at the McKinney Senior Center.
When you say caregiver support, what's that?
A lot of what we do as an organization is not just working with seniors, but with their families as well. And so when you consider that we have, that there are the sandwich generation, children caring for their parents or a spouse. And so we have caregiver support to work with those family members and helping them cope with stress during times of either dealing with dementia or dealing with a debilitating disease. So we provide support group as well as individual counseling.
Anybody else?
What was the proposed number on the to support in the beginning for the second grant for the mental health?
The other one, yes, for mental health counseling. I don't know if I have a number on that. I have a copy of the application. Not requested.
Oh, 25. That's 25 beneficiaries.
Okay.
Yeah, I see that's one. Okay. And you have a licensed clinical social worker that's going to provide the session?
Yes, we do. In fact, she came back. Today was her day for group, and she had two new caregivers that came as a result of our Dementia Basics, Dementia Essentials conference. And she came back so energized. She said, I actually have two new people who said, I've been waiting 3 weeks for this session. And she says, I finally feel validated.
I have a question also in terms of the services, mental
sure.
health. Now, it's 55 and older, correct?
55 and over, generally speaking. Now, if somebody is a caregiver, we will see anybody at any age in their caring for them.
Okay. Now, those that are 55 and over, have you seen an increase in post-traumatic stress disorder? Are we serving any veterans? Have you kind of established a data on these?
We are seeing veterans. In fact, in the last year, probably 18 months, one of the things that I've asked to start tracking more is how many veterans are we seeing and what services. And we partner with a lot of other organizations that provide benefits for veterans. We are seeing, our counselor is seeing several of them. There is a lot of post-traumatic stress.
And they're probably under 55 because I'm 50 and, I'm thinking of the war in Afghanistan and things like that.
So we're seeing some older folks, Vietnam era, mm-hmm. Who are addressing, in fact, I'm thinking of one case in particular. But again, if they're younger than 55, like I said, we try and work with other agencies that can more specifically address that population.
How many other local cities do you guys cover?
That's a loaded question for me. We are actually working in the senior centers in Frisco, Allen, McKinney, and Plano. We have programs that work all over Collin County. In fact, our healthcare program, you've seen people from seven counties in this last year that come to us. and include that includes the McKinney Center. Center folks come to the McKinney Center to visit with us.
And you get money from each one of these groups as well?
Three out of the four. I'm working on the fourth. The organization over the last few years has been growing tremendously. When we look at our older adult population, Collin County has grown in the last 15 years, 65 and over, of 262%.
On the funding sources, you said you are, this particular grant, are you receiving $40,000?
Which grant?
Mental health. Your total grant project is $56,000, and it indicated that you're receiving $40,000, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
We are receiving $40,000 for caregiver support as it relates to area agency on the aging. Our work with seniors directly is not funded, and we expect to grow, particularly in McKinney, as we just shared.
Okay, so out of that $40,000, how much is it impacting your project of $56,000? How much?
The majority of that will go to reimburse us for our caregiver support.
Which would be direct?
It's the total cost is $56,000 to operate that firm.
Okay.
Yes.
So $40,000.
$40,000 will cover the caregiver support. And so the work with our seniors, unrestricted funding and other funding sources that we're trying to raise.
So you're at a loss of $16,000. If that's what you're trying to support,
right.
And you're requesting $8,400.
Correct.
Okay, then. Okay.
And I've done my best to try and tie the McKinney residents proportionally with the source of funding.
No, I understand.
That helps us.
You're short 16, you're requesting at least half of that. Okay, I understand. I have no more questions.
Anybody else?
No more questions.
Good. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much
for your presentation. Now we would have Baby Booty. BBDB. How's that? Baby Booties Diaper Bank. I'm a grandfather, but mine are all out of diapers. So praise the Lord on that.
Okay, so I'm Helen Hutton. I'm the executive director of Baby Booties. We launched 4 years ago. This year in 2018, we will surpass 1 million diapers distributed to the residents of Collin County, so we are pushing them out very quickly in that short amount of time. We rely 100% on donations. We did receive the McKinney grant last year that helped us double the number of potty training kits that we provide to families, and I'll explain that a little bit. But we do rely mainly on donations and drives and recurring donors. In the U.S., 700,000 children have been abused annually, and the children in that first year of life are the most victimized. And 4 out of 5 of those kids, it's their own parent. The number one cause of abuse is a crying baby. Sadly, babies that are left in dirty diapers, that's one of the number one causes of irritability and disease and other things. So that is kind of why the diaper bank is such a important role in any community, because we do provide those clean diapers for those families. And I don't know how long it's been since you guys bought diapers, but a case of diapers, 200 diapers, is anywhere from $26 to $45 for a case, and that's people that can shop at Costco and Amazon Prime and buy in big bulk numbers. A lot of our clients are facing issues with transportation and getting places, so they're going to a local convenience store that has doubled that price and tripled that price, along with their $8 gallon of milk. So they can cost between $70 and $80 for families in need per child. 40% of our clients have more than one child, and a majority of our families have 3 or more in diapers. So federal assistance like SNAP and WIC, they don't cover the cost of diapers. So diapers is always something that's coming out of everyone's budget. In Collin County, and the presenter in front of me mentioned it, but the growth in Collin County is so great. We're approaching 925,000 residents in Collin County, with McKinney being the largest growing in that area. Sadly, even though that growth is great, statistics are showing that they're alarmingly lower than the increase in families living in poverty. So as that the poverty rises. We're seeing right now with a 7.8% poverty rate, 71,000 Collin County residents living in poverty. So that puts 13,000 kids in Collin County in a diaper need crisis. Not just living in poverty, but families that are going month to month, families that are struggling with working poor. We do outtake surveys on all of our clients, and 84% of our families are working, have one working family member in the house. So our families are working. They also said that the number one relief, oh, sorry.
It's okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, you can finish your last statement. I'll let you finish the statement.
No. They were just the number one reason that that people see our services is to reduce stress.
Okay.
Any questions?
How do you go about identifying those in need?
Yeah. So in the 4 years, we've partnered with agencies, which is great because then our clients can have access to additional resources. So we get a lot of referrals from CASA, Community Lifeline Center, Samaritan Inn, Salvation Army. So we get a lot of referrals. We do not require, we don't have specific income requirements. We just have residency requirements. The amount of diapers that we're giving families is just 50 to 100 per child, and a typical baby goes through 10 a day. So we're filling a small gap, but not enough that it would cover their entire month.
I have a question. Do you require immigration status?
We check IDs. So we just base it on current residents, address of residence. They just have to live in McKinney.
Okay, so they can have a passport or
provide
some type of documentation. What about birth certificates on children?
We do that for every child.
Now, I work with homeless students in McKinney, and sometimes families, drop off kids with relatives, and they don't have all their identification, and they don't have birth certificates. Do you work with families to try to get some?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And we accept verification of birth because sometimes the birth certificate they have to pay a little bit extra to order it, so we take their hospital records.
Now, are you just working in McKinney?
We cover all of Collin County, but 80% of our clients are in McKinney, and our facility is in McKinney. We have a new facility this year.
I lost you. Oh, there you go. Do you think you're going to serve 2,000? Is that a
setup? Yeah, we did about 2,800. Yeah. We did 2,800 last year.
And you think it's going
to
go down?
Approaching 3,000. But we also, with our partner agencies, their numbers are a little bit less. We don't include those because some of those are outside of McKinney. So we do Wiley, Plano Food Bank, so those clients are considered in that number.
Are you guys having to purchase all your diapers, or are you getting donations from any of the stores around or any of the diaper companies?
We've reached out to them, but we're part of a national diaper bank network that has a community diaper program that partners with Jet.com, which is kind of like an Amazon competitor, so we get our diapers at 9 cents a diaper. The average person going into the store is paying about 22 cents. So we buy them in bulk. So for us, money goes farther for us because we are able to buy at such a discounted rate.
Do you provide you have a website? Do you provide information in Spanish?
We do. All of our stuff is
English and Spanish.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Translated. I'm getting pretty good. I'm getting better.
It's much easier to learn a language if you start out when you're little.
I know. Luckily, my kids take Spanish, and they've been doing it for 4 years now, doing the diaper bank, so they actually do better than I do.
And they take care of mom. Anybody else?
Yeah, it says for direct services, you're asking for $7,000. What are the direct services?
So, straight diapers, and then we do these potty training kits. So once a child hits three, they can graduate out of the program, and we give them a potty seat and a potty book and stickers. So that kit costs $12. So each family will get that when they graduate. So it's just straight supplies,
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, let's see. I can say this one easier. Community Lifeline Center.
Operations and PR Director for Community Lifeline Center. We are requesting $8,000, which is about 60% of our program budget, for household and hygiene products for our low-income residents. So for those of you who aren't familiar with Community Lifeline, we were founded in 1989 by a group of churches who all decided to work together towards the mission of guiding local residents in crisis back to self-sufficiency. So we provide immediate services in the form of short-term financial assistance, such as rent, utilities, medical, dental bills, and then we also provide food and household and hygiene products through our Lifeline Market food pantry. It's on-site, it's client choice, they fill out a menu, and they get the products that they know that their family likes and needs. So our breakdown of our request is $6,000 in direct services, which is those household and hygiene products, so laundry detergent, dish soap, shampoo, conditioner, those kinds of things, and then $2,000 in personnel costs, which is about 6 hours per week of stocking inventory and kind of leading the volunteers that do the distribution in the market. So this program is an integral part of our services. We offer household and hygiene products because, like Helen mentioned, in baby booties, SNAP does not cover these items under their program. And other local pantry coverage is a little difficult. There's not everybody provides them, some hours are sporadic. So we try to supplement that, and then with the exception of baby booties and their diapers and wipes and things. These products obviously are vital for everybody, but we really believe that they're very vital for our clients because a lot of them are looking for new jobs, some of them have been laid off. A lot of them are looking for personal development, obviously hygiene is really important, as well as for their families. And then if we pride ourselves on fiscal responsibility. We can stretch dollars a little bit further than the average donor because we do have partners with Market Street and Dollar Tree where we can purchase items at cost or shipping, that kind of thing. Yeah. I'll take any questions.
I have a question regarding the funding sources.
Sure.
The project budget is $14,050, and on funding sources, you indicate that you're receiving funding for your program from Co-Serve Charitable Foundation, TXU Philip, listed in, you know. So are these individuals supporting this program?
Not specifically this program. A majority of those are, I think she listed a group of all of our funding sources for all of our programs. The main other funders for this program are just individual donors who will donate supplies, as well as some service organizations. The Co-Serve Foundation and TXU, those help with our financial assistance.
So do you have a number of how much is supporting directly this program from these donors? Can you give an estimate?
Not a regular estimate. I would assume it's so sporadic. It's mostly concentrated towards the holidays and things like that, little drives and things, but it's not a continuous
program. Yeah. You answered most of my questions.
Good.
Anybody else? Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Bridges that unite.
Hello.
I guess I should start this. You ready?
Hey, I'm Stephanie Tyson. I am one of the co-founders for Bridges that Unite. And I appreciate the opportunity to present our grant to you. We are requesting funds this evening to support our Getting Ahead in a Just Getting By World work groups and our financial literacy work groups that we've been conducting in the community for some time now. And so these groups support an asset-based solution for people experiencing poverty or instability in the community. And what does that mean? Some people want to know what is an asset-based solution. An asset-based solution means that the solutions with problems with instability come from the people who are actually experiencing poverty or instability, and that there are assets and skills that can be capitalized on for building what is unstable. And so this approach also includes learning what barriers are faced by people in poverty, investigating not only just individual choice and the mindset that maybe caused that issue, but also the community effects on poverty, such as exploitation and community resources, and also the economic structures and the government issues that have perpetuated poverty. So how we do this is the foundation of what we do is about education and collaboration with other organizations for a holistic approach. Our groups include financial literacy, resource building and goal setting, and we also offer ally training. And the ally opportunity partners community members who have connections and resources and a heart for advocacy to walk beside those who are experiencing instability and work on things such as employment, housing, parenting, life skills, budgeting, and financial literacy, and also just simply friendship and encouragement as we learn from each other. And participants in our groups have remained connected to Bridges That Unite by co-facilitating new groups so they come back and they bring value to the group as they continue to work on their future story, serve on our board of directors, and continue to increase their social network of support. And one of our participants in particular has stayed connected to our groups for the past 5 years as she finished her early childhood certification and moved up in her job at Lawson Early Childhood, for example. And she's now networking with others and researching the best option for owning her own home as she participates in our current financial literacy class. So again, this grant will help us continue those groups. Ideally, we need to expand these groups to have more, so we need more trained facilitators because it always happens. We'll be three sessions in, and we'll get calls from folks who want to join. And of course, these are closed groups because the material builds on it. We're building social capital together, and we can't just come in midstream. Okay. So if we had different start dates for more groups, then we could serve more people.
This is going to sound terrible, and I apologize, because there's no other way to put it. What's your success rate? I mean, you know, a lot of times you see people that want help, some people that will say they want help, and then you have people who don't want any help. What is your success rate of moving people from one of those latter two categories to the ones that want help that actually succeed?
Well, I can tell you that eyebrows get raised when we say that for example, our financial literacy work group is 12 weeks long, and our resource building work group is 17 weeks long. And so people say, well, how in the world do you keep people there for that many weeks and keep them coming back? And they do. We may lose one or two along the way because maybe they've gotten a job that conflicts with the time schedule of the meetings, or they have a crisis that causes them to have to move away. But otherwise, our participants stick with us throughout the entire process because of the relationships that get built in that group and the networking that happens, and just the opportunity to be in a place where they have time to think. And be around positive people because we provide childcare while these classes are happening, as well as dinner. So those are two barriers that are removed that allow people to come to the table. Now, I know that doesn't directly answer your question, but so as far as our class participation, we have a very high success rate of that. As some of you may know, building resources takes a lot of time.
No.
And it's not an easy solution like giving somebody help with the utility bill or giving them, you know, a bag of food does. It takes a lot of time. Like the one example I just gave you of the person who's been associated with us for several years, she has moved up because she's been able to complete her education and move up in her job, and now she's beginning to think about her home. But we're still walking with her and still trying to make connections with resources. So, as far as I don't know how would you define success?
Well, no, you actually answered the question. If you've got people that are sticking to it through an entire process, they're wanting to learn, And hopefully, you know, they're getting the opportunity to put what they are learning from you to work to be to better themselves. I mean, that's the whole goal.
Well, and something we're excited about is I know data is always something that funders want, and what we do, because it's intangible and somewhat subjective because you're working with people, that's been a challenge, but we have some measurements that are being used on a national level with the Bridges framework in other communities that include, that's part of our curriculum as well. We do a resource assessment where there are 10 resources that we investigate in our Getting Ahead group. And we have the participants assess themselves for their strengths and weaknesses in those resources. So we would put that information into a system, our data system, and then go back 6 months from then and see, okay, have these resources increased in this 6 months time since we've been together and worked on these resources. The other one is the stability scale. And there are 5 categories for that. So, and that's self-reported, but again, it's another measurement. And then return on investment, which includes assets and liabilities for our participants. So we're looking forward to being able to give some harder data in those areas.
Another question?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, I have one. Well, it's a two-part question. How do you advertise in order for people to take part in your program? And then what is the demographics of your program?
Okay. Our two of our biggest advocates in the community are McKinney Housing Authority and Community Lifeline Center. So we receive referrals from those organizations. We've also had participants come to us from Family Promise of Collin County. As well as the Samaritan Inn Transitional Housing program. Because of course someone who is homeless is not the best candidate because they're not quite stable enough to be able to go through the program, but someone who's in transitional housing can go through it if they can walk aside during that process. So, and ideally, our classes are 10 to 12 people at a time, and the more diverse, the better. Diverse economically and racially, and even sometimes age-wise. So as long as someone is able-bodied and able to work, then they're a good candidate.
I have a question. These people, these clients that you're seeing, nobody's forcing them to be there, correct?
Correct.
People that are seeking help themselves and wanting to provide a better life in the future, right?
Exactly.
So that lends itself to the success rate, in my opinion.
It does, and also, you know, people are attracted to our groups by relationships. We, you know, in the beginning, we tried putting out flyers, and that doesn't work. So, a lot of our referrals come from agencies that already have a relationship with these folks, or they're friends of people who have already been through our class. Because, like I said, we'll get 3 classes in, and even though we've advertised for a few months, somehow it doesn't get on their radar until their friend says, "Hey, you got to join this. You know, it's really helping me." So.
Anybody else? Well, thank you very much. Okay, Assistance League of Greater Collin County.
Chairman for Assistance League of Greater Collin County. We are the Collin County chapter of a national organization called Assistance League. It is a 501c3 organization. We presently have 63 members who raise the funding, all of our funding, for our programs. And we have 5 programs, but the largest of which is Operation School Bell, which provides clothing for children who are in need. Operation School Bell is the signature program of Assistance League of Collin County. Our chapter determines needs by consulting with school counselors. Children have to be referred by the school counselors who recommend children lacking proper adequate clothing. Some of them miss school because they don't have clothes. Following the parent approval, our chapter provides new items: two pairs of jeans, two shirts, one sweatshirt, one jacket, six underwear briefs, six pairs of socks, a dental hygiene kit, hairbrush and comb, and a shoe voucher. Clothing is selected by the Assistance League members and from our inventory and delivered to the school. We measure success of Operation School Bell when we fulfill 100% of referrals within 4 days, 4 school days. And we purchase the clothing wholesale, which means that we can get that big list of items that I mentioned before. We document all of our clothing of the children and by an Excel on an Excel spreadsheet, and our account. We use the accounting tools QuickBooks, which enables us to track the clothes that are purchased during the year to determine the cost per child. Already this year, in August and September, we've clothed 76 children from McKinney Elementary Schools. Now, that's from the past grant year, as you know. But in the month of October, which is this grant year, we've already clothed, had 21 referrals. Clothing Children in Need benefits society by helping these children not feel different from their peers. Students who come to school prepared and excited to learn are much more likely to have a positive experience and to thrive. All children, despite their financial circumstances, deserve an opportunity not to feel set apart from the other children.
That's it.
We hope that you can help us. Was that it?
That's it.
All right. You can guess what I hope.
Yeah. We hope we'll give you some money.
Yes.
Are you dealing primarily with elementary school?
All
elementary. Are you buying them clothes that they
like?
You get them clothes that they like, or just clothes
you know,
that they can deal with?
Our buyers, our chairman of Operation School Bell, do a wonderful job of selecting jeans that have little girls have little butterflies on the back, and little boys' t-shirts have racing car, they have football, you know, they are what you would probably buy, you know, at a store here.
It's important that they get clothes, but it's also important they don't feel.
And we try, when we take referrals close to a particular school within a particular grade, we try not to duplicate. You know, if we know that one with a football, we don't give another child that same shirt. But that could happen at Target or, you know, Walmart. But we do try to make them look good and feel good.
You mentioned
have a spring in their step.
You mentioned a shoe voucher. They come to y'all to get the shoes?
At this point, we give them a shoe voucher, which is worth $20 to Payless.
Okay.
Then we get a card.
Are there any Paylesses left?
There
any Paylesses left in the area?
Yes, there are Payless shoe stores left. They've closed some.
Yeah, okay.
But our committee has checked to make sure that there are some close to all of the schools. So.
A question.
Yes.
On your proposal, it indicates McKinney ISD schools. Are you supporting the other schools that reside within McKinney, Texas?
Now say that again.
Okay, we have 7 school districts that reside within the boundary of McKinney, Texas. Are you only serving McKinney ISD students?
No, we have McKinney, Plano, Frisco, Allen, Lovejoy, and we have just added Wiley. Did I get them all? I don't have them right in front of me, but we service all of those.
Another question. Have you partnered up with Trusted World out of Allen, nonprofit that provides clothing to students in need? And
I am not aware of Trusted. This is our president.
Okay.
We have not, but we are aware of the work that they do also.
We had almost 1,000 children last year that we clothed in Alma. We're on target to do about 1,200 this year throughout Collin County.
Are you getting financial aid from these other cities as well?
Yes. We asked from Plano. That's the only other one that we have.
Mm-hmm. Plano and McKinney probably are the two
largest
referrals.
Not only am I asking about Trusted World because it's a wonderful organization and it provides gently used and brand new clothing free for all children. Plus, they give you an opportunity to select the colors, the styles, and they deliver to schools.
Right. We'll take note of that.
Anybody else?
Who's your contact person at McKinney ISD?
Our Operation School Bell, I do not know the contact person for McKinney, but our Operation, because I'm not our Operation, we have two chairmen of Operation School Bell. I can get that information for you, but I do not know myself who that is.
I do have one question.
Yes.
Under here, you may have mentioned this, but it says $10,000 for direct services. What exactly are you planning? Is this $10,000 going to purchasing the clothes?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Now, we do have an office where we store the clothes, but we have not. We've set in the grant, and we document through QuickBooks. It costs us about $80. But that does not include our electricity and our rent. So this is strictly for clothes. Our budget is $85.
Anybody else? Thank you very much. And last but not least, the family place. Oh, yeah, I guess I should. We don't want to be here all night.
I'm Dr. Felicia Holloway, so I'm the program director for the clinical outreach services or outreach clinical services for the Family Place. And I'm specifically here because of my knowledge of supervising our new McKinney location, which is on 207 Church Street on the square. So the Family Place mission is to empower victims of family violence. We do that by providing safe housing and counseling services and advocacy for families. We started in 1978 and we have the largest domestic violence agency in Dallas and one of the largest in Texas, which includes three shelters as well as four counseling outreach centers. So we provide case management, advocacy, and counseling to clients who have experienced family violence or incest. And all of our services are free, and we offer services in both Spanish and English at most of our locations. Our McKinney location was opened in 2016, summer 2016, and so we hope to serve more McKinney residents by providing child care when they come to our agency for services. Oftentimes they don't have child care for when they want to participate in our domestic violence education group or counseling services, as well as transportation to our services. We'd also like to be able to provide the additional services they need in leaving their abuser. So that could include overflow housing, so when shelters in the local area cannot afford more clients in their shelters because they're at capacity, we want to be able to house them in hotels until opening does become available, because at the time in which a client is ready to leave, research suggests that is the most likely that their abuser is going to be extremely violent. And so when they decide to leave, we need to get them out immediately. So waiting for an opening in a shelter could actually be a risk to their life and their children's lives. So we also want to make sure that when they leave, oftentimes our victims leave with nothing because they are trying to escape abuse. So we want to make sure that they're given the resources they need. If it's rental assistance into a new place, if it's some of the items that they might need that they left behind, frequently have clients who come to our door who have nothing, who come with a bar- borrow clothes from other family members, and no money in their pocket, no way to get transportation to and from the agency. So we want to be able to provide them lift or gas, cars, and things of that nature. So we're trying to support clients holistically. So we also provide case management services. Clients often come and they have their basic needs met, so they can't work on the symptoms of trauma that are related to domestic violence and incest. So we have to meet those services first in terms of housing, food, and clothing before we can meet those counseling services, which is our primary component to the agency.
Question.
You said your primary component is the counseling aspect of
yes.
Uh-huh. That's correct.
Yes.
So getting from the clothing to the counseling, does that happen all the time? Or is it sometimes when they get the clothing and then they don't proceed to that next step in the counseling services?
No, typically in McKinney, if they're coming to that location, they're coming and we're meeting all of those needs holistically. So they're coming for counseling or DV education, domestic violence education, but we're meeting all of those needs. Rarely does anyone come and say we just need these kind of case management support yeah. systems and don't get the counseling, because our counselors are kind of the initial person they meet. And so our counselors have the ability to assess and talk through how the symptoms could affect them long term. Let's meet those needs now, but also let's not forget about all of the other challenges that can come with the past trauma. And so I think our counselors are really good at engaging clients to make sure we hold on to them as long as possible. Yeah.
Thank you.
Are your counselors licensed?
Yes. So our counselors are all licensed. I'm a counselor myself. So I'm a marriage and family therapist and a licensed professional counselor supervisor. So I supervise one licensed professional counselor intern who is full-time staff, and then we have another licensed professional counselor who's full-time staff. Both see both children and adults. But we have one who's designated as the children's counselor and one who's designated as adult counselor. I see clients too as overflow. Sometimes we have families who come in who have three children and a mother, and so we have to work out trying to coordinate services between the three of us to make sure they can see all at one time to make it more convenient for them.
What about volunteers?
Yes, we have volunteers who actually do come in. In terms of our whole agency as a whole, we have lots of volunteers. Our McKinney office, we're trying to grow our volunteer base. Like I said, we've only been open since 2016, and four of those months we actually were completely understaffed. So we're trying to rebuild now, and we're doing a lot of outreach to agencies and let them know we're fully staffed now. We can really ramp up our services, and we've had a really strong increase in client referrals here lately over the past couple of months since I've been hired on in May, and since I've been able to hire and fully staff our office.
I understand that's a good thing, but it's really a bad thing.
Yeah.
It really is.
Absolutely.
The only thing I do see, you all are based out of Dallas.
Yes,
but you have satellite clinics here in McKinney and other areas.
Yes, absolutely.
Brick and mortar, right?
Yes. So our in order to protect our clients' confidentiality, our agency is actually in our retail boutique, so it appears that it's a store, but on the first floor is actually our counseling center. We provide child-centered play therapy, trauma-focused CBT, EMDR, which is an evidence-based therapy model that is effective in working with PTSD centers, as well as cognitive behavior.
I have one more question. I keep asking this, but $16,500 for direct services,
mm-hmm.
What exactly is that?
So that's going to be paying for child care providers to come in and actually contract providers to come in and watch children. The bulk of that's going to be for hotels, for clients who are escaping domestic violence, and then also the transportation needs, and then a portion of all those other needs that come with leaving their abuser.
Okay, thank you very much.
I have a question. I came to the meeting in Plano a couple of weeks ago, and there's a new app that is available for those seeking shelter for domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with it? Where they actually can they can request a hotel room, and we've got participating hotels, and donors who want to give money and try to help families, they'll donate money, and so they want to look into that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Do you know the name of that?
I don't. I have it written down somewhere, but I can get it for you.
Okay. That's awesome.
But that saves money.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else? Okay, thank you very much. At this time, are there any citizens' comments? I'll take that as a no. Any board or comments? Okay.
I'd like to thank all the presenters for taking the time to come out here. I know some of you were really nervous. I've been on your side, so I know exactly what you're going through. But I applaud each and every one of you for all the time, the work, the passion that you have to help our community. So again, thank you very much.
Okay, at this time, I guess we will adjourn. We will be back again tomorrow night at 6:30. So we need a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And opposed? Okay. So we will be back.
We are adjourned at
7:26 p.m.